That's me slow on the trigger here, sorry.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins. And always, I am joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, Super Bowl week. No, it's not MMA related or combat related, but it's a big week for sports in the U.S. How's it going on the East Coast? I know I'm getting flooded out here with rain. I know you got a bunch of snow.
Well, that was like a couple of weeks ago. Actually, we're in a good, you know, the what's his name? Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow. So
that's right.
We're getting an early spring, and it seems like we're getting some of that this coming weekend on Super Bowl weekend. So it'll be a nice time for folks out here that never brought in their barbecue pits and all that stuff to fire some stuff up and get a little, you know, have a few brews with some friends, enjoy some time with people you like and you know, break balls and watch the game and all that good stuff. So I was worried we weren't going to do the podcast because the rain you're getting hit with is out by you, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we were doing it last night, I would have been concerned about possible power outages, but today it was raining hard, but you know, not as bad, but a lot of flooding going on, a lot of flooding. So just not prepared for it, but that's California, not prepared for a lot of things. speaking of people you like to hang out with, Bellator MMA. We both loved going to it. Me as a fan, you as a media member and a fan of it. They just gave you a press release. We got an event announced, Bellator 302, huh?
Yeah, Bellator 302. The card, it looks like it's just being built. It's going to be in Belfast, March 22nd. The card currently, if you haven't seen the news yet, light heavyweight world title bout Corey Anderson versus Carl Moore is the main event, and the co-main event is Leah McCourt versus Sinead Kavanaugh. Now, we all know that Leah McCourt name was, you know, one that Cyborg had been putting out there, and it kind of adds to, you know, I feel like Cyborg has a point with, it seems like they're kind of, I don't know if they're shelving her or what the deal is, or they wanted to wait, but I know she just had a boxing match, so maybe they were being considerate of her time. You know, obviously behind closed doors, we don't know what's going on with the dealings there, but the plus side, I feel like I'm glad to see that they're continuing with the numbers and they're not trying to reset anything. I'm glad to see the Bellator logo in another event announced with a lot of familiar names. with that announcement, before we move on, where you chime in, they also said, they're going to do, they talked about it's going to be like broadcast with its own, and they still don't have a U.S. broadcast partner, and they're supposed to announce that in the coming weeks. My prediction is that that's going to be Fubo Sports because the Challenger Series was there for literally like one season or 6 months or whatever it is. I would imagine that slot is going to be taken by Bellator events, which I hope it is, because I feel like it should be easily accessible. You can't make everything a fucking pay-per-view, but I don't know. What do you think about that, the news and everything?
Well, my first thing on the card is that I guess, I don't know, man. When I went to events, especially when there wasn't a million of them to go to, I used to hate seeing the locals fighting over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like it was a worldwide sport, and I always wondered why I got to see the same people fighting King of the UFC that I saw in King of the Cage, or, mm-hmm. you know, or King of the Cage fight. Back then, King of the Cage was bigger, so it was like the people I saw build up to that would fight it, and it was just over and over again. And I would sit there and go, hey, I want the Otsukas, I want the guys from Japan, I want, you know, I want those guys to come. I want the international flair, because that's what attracted me to the sport, was the worldwide, you know, curiosity of who the best fighter in the world is. I feel like it's just weird to do. To me, it feels like Kavanaugh and McCourt have fought like 9 times already. Now, I guess this is just one rematch. Maybe it's because they always fight on the same card in whenever they had their Irish events. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they've been tagged together. I think McCourt probably got screwed. If Pacheco, or if there's any kind of delay in that, I just don't understand why they just didn't do, let Cyborg fight McCourt in Ireland. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. now assuming she's down for all that, who knows? She might you know, what goes on, you know, what's said on Twitter obviously isn't necessarily what's going on behind the scenes, but so I do like, I like that they're putting on an event. I like that they're keeping the number. I like that they have the logo, same things you said. I just hope that this doesn't turn into something. I hinted at it last week where I felt like they were going to hold Cyborg back for the LA show. Mm-hmm. So I hope this doesn't become like a regional kind of organization. You know what I'm saying? Where like, where if they go to Italy, it's, we get Alessio Sicaras over and over again, you know, instead of just a huge, you know, instead of the Pitbull, you know, and I know the Pitbulls have fought in Italy and stuff, but you know, that kind of thing. I just feel like, I hope that's what PFL does. I hope that they don't, you know, it just doesn't become like, oh, we're going to go to these places, we're going to milk these towns with the local talent, and we're just going to get, you know, we're just going to kind of do that, because it seems kind of cheap to me, rather than flying superstars out to these other locations for fans to be able to see. I imagine there's a ton of Irish fans who have gone to every Bellator show out there, and they wish that they could get to see Cyborg. You know, they sure, you like Kavanaugh, you like McCourt, but you've probably seen him fight seven times if you're an Irish Bellator fan. So that's kind of weird to me. As far as the TV thing goes, you know, just do YouTube. Whether that's through FUBU's channel or however the hell you do it, just do it free on YouTube. It's the easiest way to do it right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, TV deals didn't work for Bellator. They went through more than I can even count, and none of them were really successful. Barring a year period, maybe on Spike, or, you know, the Kimbo, basically, you know. So I don't know. I would just do YouTube. To me, YouTube makes it easy. Rumble, YouTube, something like, I mean, I know a lot of people don't do Rumble, but whatever, just some kind of free mass accessible site without a paywall on it, without some crazy URL, you know, just make it easy to watch. It's going to be on at like noon, my time, 3 o'clock your time. Don't make us search out some crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point. It should be something like, easy to watch on your phone, whichever, you know, if you have, most people have YouTube on their phone. We got a comment from Antoine Willis. What's up, guys? Love the show. I'm truly intrigued by the PFL versus Bellator card. Sucks Nemkov vacated his title. Yeah, it does, but, you know, that opened the door for Corey to get a title fight, and obviously Nemkov's got the shot at in the pay-per-view that they're doing. But back to your point, Matt, the thing about making it easy to watch, like, you know, if they do something like something that's on an app, like FUBU Sports, I like them because they have a YouTube channel where they just stream everything that's on the FUBU Sports channel. It's on Tubi, it's on Roku, it's on everything else that's there. As we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to actually this past weekend too, we're going to talk about BKFC. BKFC seems to be has a presence there. I was giving credit to Sean Merriman for his team. It looks like he got the flavor of combat sport, in my opinion anyway. I don't know if combat sports was there before Merriman brought Lights Out Championship there, but it just seems like FUBU Sports sees what folks see in combat sports, and they want in, and they're just trying to grab up everything they can that'll show stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Invictus is shown there. You know, for me, it's like it's FUBU Sports or Prime Video that can kind of capitalize on what other folks have, because I don't think Netflix is in play anymore because they threw their wad at the WWE. So I think that they're out of it. I think they're out of it. So.
Yeah, I don't want no part in it. I don't want anything like that. The numbers will be minuscule. If you're the only streaming service that you might have a chance would be Amazon, because a lot of people have Amazon because it brings other things to the table. People buy it for the shipping, free shipping, and then they get a streaming service, so it's added on. Anything where you got to pay money, I mean, oh, you're just opening up the door for illegal streams. That's all you're going to do. You're just going to kill your actual numbers. I think that's just a mistake right now, especially for the Bellator thing. The PFL, if they're on ESPN, I believe they re-signed with them. So let them do their thing on there. Just put it on YouTube. Just put it on the PFL YouTube channel. I mean, that'll help you grow your name. It'll help grow your subscribers to the PFL brand, and then that'll be where the Bellator can be, and it'll be easy. Have it on the Bellator YouTube channel. Have a co-stream of it. You own it all. Just, you know, that's the way to do it. I don't think any other way works. The fact that they're announcing events without one seems like we're like circa 2001 again, you know? You know, and then the news breaks.
And that's the biggest complaint that people have is that you know, like when they do have stuff, they're good. They want to do all this stuff in Europe and overseas. And when people finally do, you know, when they finally do it, I mean, the last Euro series, like, no one got to watch it. I know Ainley Kaplan, who works for FanSided. I mean, she's one of she's on she's in agreement with me on like okay, yeah, cool, you're doing this, but make it so that we can watch it. Antoine Willis asking a really good question here too with the merge on the horizon. Do you guys think they will ever be able to compete with the UFC? I still wonder who Ngannou will fight in the PFL. Yeah, a lot of people are wondering if Ngannou's even going to fight in the PFL with the money he's getting. But as far as them being able to compete with the UFC, I think we have to wait at least until July or August to see if anyone can, or at least maybe in the fall, like closer to the end of the year, to see if anybody's really going to compete with the UFC. I'm starting to notice even these hardcore weird TikTok-y fans of the UFC are even getting a little bored with just the oversaturation, the Apex events, and they're just booking more Apex events. Granted, it's a money saver for them. They make money regardless because, like you were mentioning last week, ESPN has to throw money at them anyway. But I think people are starting to want to find something different. So we'll see. We'll see. It's hard. I mean, right now there's such a powerhouse. I think we have to get through this first quarter, especially with the, you know, they have the antitrust lawsuit coming up in April. So we have to see what happens on the business end of things and how their numbers, if they suffer, we'll see. We'll know by I think we'll know by closer to the end of this year. Again, I'm not a business or finance guy. Other people know better than me, but that's just me spitballing. Because usually by now we hear if they're going to raise prices on ESPN Plus again. But
naturally it's going to go up. I don't, to answer his question the best I can, mm-hmm. I don't think that anything will ever compete with the UFC. Mm. The UFC is just a brand name. I mean, I'm just guilty of a day, but when it first started out, I was the one who had the UFC license plate frame that I had custom made, and I was printing my own UFC shirts, going to Kinko's with the VHS cover and printing it on it. I mean, I was doing stuff just to have a UFC logo. So a lot of it was built off of just the logo and the name. Dana White says it all the time. They bought the name. They bought the three letters, and I don't think that'll ever be competed with. If you asked, you know, 7 out of 10 people, you know, if they know what UFC is, they're going to say yes. A lot of them probably wouldn't know what MMA is. It's just UFC is MMA to a huge chunk of the world. So I don't think they'll become that, but I don't think it has to be that. I mean, even huge sports have minor leagues that are successful. It's just how you manage it. It's putting something on YouTube rather than signing some TV deal that handicaps you or puts a guy like Espinoza in control of all your movements and stuff. You handicap yourself for the initial buck up front. I think they just need to kick back. I think you just get the eyes, create the eyes is what'll do it. As far as who's going to fight Ngannou, your guess is as good as mine, but we mentioned Nemkov. I mean, you know, maybe Nemkov picks up a big heavyweight win. You got a bit of the storyline, Fedor retiring. You've got the new Russian stepping in. Moldovsky came up short against Ryan Bader, but you know, I mean, it seems crazy size different wise, but let's see what a 230-pound Nemkov looks like.
Yeah, and it looks like they're trying to market that at least, because if you watch that press conference that they had to announce the pay per view with Bader and Nemkov, Bader and Fajeda fighting each other. They were alluding to the fact that the winner of this fight is going to be the first guy to fight Ngannou in MMA. But I don't know, man. I mean, would you go back to MMA if you're making a gazillion dollars?
No, I don't think he's going to fight in PFL. But hypothetically speaking, I also will always be Nemkov, and I'll bring up the fact that I you know, dog walked, you know, Ryan Bader across the cage for, you know, an entire fight until it, you know, I knocked him out. So I might go with that.
Antoine chiming in again. Exactly, guys. Like, Kayla coming over to UFC is massive, in my opinion. She makes a weight. We finally get to see how good she really is in the biggest promotion. I mean, that's telling. I think she can make the weight. Nolan King just did the Spinning Side Clicks podcast that they do at MMA Junkie, and he agreed. And then Willis also agrees with you on the Nemkov moving up. Well, Matt could be a matchmaker in a MMA promotion if he gets if he stands in front of the right person, I feel like he could definitely do some matchmaking for folks.
There was a time. There was a time. Yeah. Now it's hard. Now yeah,
it is
older.
Hard now.
It's hard. It's harder now because there's so many names. But yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think like naturally. You got Ryan Bader, but does anybody really want to see Ryan Bader versus Ngannou? I mean, it has a little flair, especially if Bader picks up a win over Fajeda, but it just doesn't. And certainly Fajeda versus Ngannou doesn't do anything for anybody, especially if it's a headlining pay-per-view. I mean, I suppose Bader's the name that would probably sell the most, but I do like the idea of Nemkov, but he's got to win at heavyweight. I don't necessarily know what fight they would do there. Maybe Litton Vassell against Nemkov at heavyweight, or even maybe Sergey Karatanov. I mean, I don't know if he's still around, but, you know, somebody like that who he could just go in there and, you know, a Josh Barnett, something like that would be kind of cool. Just for, I know those guys are all old that I'm mentioning, but.
I mean, I don't know the acumen as far as this. Last week, I couldn't remember his full name. I have it up now. Turki Alal Sheikh, the guy that's in charge of Riyadh season over, you know, that's doing all this, where the PFL versus Bellator, the ones throwing, holding all these events over there with the big names that where they seem to have the deepest pockets to have all these, to get all these fighters to fight. I don't know what is that like if it, because obviously if it interests them to include it in Riyadh season, then we could see it happen as all that. But I don't know, man. It's a weird time. We said at the beginning of the year, the end of last year, this year is going to be interesting as far as the entire scope of combat sports is concerned.
And the Ngannou boxing match with Joshua is going to tell a lot of the story too. I mean, that could end a couple different ways, right? Like, the best way for it to end in MMA terms would essentially be him to lose a decision, because then he can walk away with his head held high. Mm-hmm. If he wins that fight, there's no chance in hell that he fights ever in PFL. There's no chance in hell he fights anybody other that's not named, you know, Usyk or Tyson Fury rematch at that point. And if he gets knocked out cold, we've seen what happens to fighters that get brutalized. And there is a chance that he could go in there and get his ass whooped. I mean, it's just, you're fighting Anthony Joshua. You know what I mean? It's not out of the question that Fury took him lightly and he gets wrecked, you know, and that could push it, you know, not only the repercussions long term, but the initial just getting ready for a fight, you know. I mean, if he gets knocked out cold, you're looking at several months of you know, suspension and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Plus, he loses some name value, and there's a big gamble here. This is all Ngannou, you know, basically cashing out. Ngannou's going to no lose. He's going to end up rich. He's already is rich, but he's going to end up, you know, extremely rich.
For sure.
But I, it's like you said, the Riyadh stuff, the Saudi stuff, you know, it brings a circus atmosphere, some of the stuff they're throwing. So let's just enjoy the ride. And if they want to throw money at these guys, more power to these guys to fill their pockets up when they should have already been full for several of these fighters.
But I do think, like, I mean, just to move on, I mean, we had another BKFC. I mentioned BKFC and FUBU Sports, and they had an event this weekend. And I think the other thing that I think it's time for folks that are changing the menu options on their presentation can kind of capitalize this year. So Bare Knuckle's one of them, you know, like one championship with their two events are bringing to the U.S. They seem to be bringing more MMA. Last year, they kind of did like a lot of more kickboxing and grappling. And it looks like they're going to try to do MMA more this year. Victor Cui, I hope I'm saying his last name right, CUI, who helped found one championship and kind of walked away, is now back in the saddle with Chatri to kind of help the U.S. You know, exposure for them grow, which I think is doing pretty good based on Amazon. But, you know, I feel like folks are thirsty for different stuff, and BKFC and one championship are kind of like right in that, you know.
Definitely add some stuff, you know, to a different flavor to what we've been used to. I do like to see David Feldman meeting with Dana White. I know he had a meeting with Saki Kabara not too long ago as well. So it seems like that Feldman is at least attempting to grow the sport at a, you know, the my thing with one in Chatri is that he's always bad mouthing everybody else.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's
like,
why I like that Victor's back.
Yeah, so maybe that's to calm him down, because you kind of, you know, people aren't stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so when you're talking to, especially a fan, well, people are stupid, but if you're talking to fight fans that actually follow the fights, they know when they're being BS yeah. too. You know, so don't, you know, you can tell me a guy's a 19-time world champion, but if he never fought out of, you know, outside of Pawtucket, then, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what to really, you know, how to really judge that, unless it's all Muay Thai, which, you know, you tell me a guy's an MMA champion, he's never fought in the U.S. It's hard to really, you know, acknowledge that on some mm-hmm. crazy level. But I don't know. I just I do like the changes. And, you know, this past BKFC, we mentioned a couple of the fights last week. Robbie Peralta, who was in the co-main event, guy from Escondido local area, trains with Derek Anderson, who's previously been on the show. Lost to Bryce Henry, eye injury, kind of really bad luck, got stuck with the very first punch of the fight, right in the eye, bloodied his eye, pretty much shut it. Doctor had to stop the fight after the second round. You even heard him in his corner, and his corner people kind of going, damn, you know, first punch, you know, and you could see him be deflated real quick when very first fight, punch of the fight, you know, 3 seconds in, his eyes closing on him, and you kind of knew that was going to head towards that.
That's the thing about bare knuckle, man. It only takes one punch, and you know, if like a knuckle gets into the eye and makes that. I mean, you look at what happened with Alvarez and Perry. You know what I mean? Like that fight was. I actually thought Alvarez was winning that fight, and Perry just had to land one hammer to turn the tide. And you know, it's that sport. I don't know how odds makers can even make odds for betting on that.
No, I mean you really can't, because there's so many. I mean. It's hard to bet on, even, you know, so, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, when we had Joey Beltran on, who was one of the first heavyweight champions in BKFC, he explained how, like, the number one strategy is just covering the hell up. Remember how he said when he towed that line, it was get the hands up, because, you know, flesh and bones coming at your face, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't beat this guy. If I can't see, I can't beat this guy. If you know, if I got a 3-inch gash over on my forehead, you know, so it's definitely, you talked about the technique changes last week, but it's nice to see main event Austin Trout. Now we had our first real successful boxing crossover. I don't want to say he upset him, although Paul Amino was 9-0 and the champ coming into the fight. Austin Trout fought a great strategic fight, dropped Palomino with a big counter hook halfway through the fight, which really kind of set the cards to be where they were, but he won 4 out of 5 rounds. You know, you got a guy with the tools, the hand speed, who's fought some world class and been around some really good boxers. It'll be interesting to see how he's able to implement that as he defends the title, and how BKFC fighters try to figure out how to get around his style of almost pure boxing, and how, well, I mean, he's gonna have to adjust his pure boxing, which he has, but it'll just be interesting to see how he does it. In theory, I mean, there'd be no reason to believe that he couldn't have a nice run at that weight class and defend that belt. I mean, you know, when you've got the training and the you know, acclimate that he's got, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I think Palomino bounced back. He was already talking about, you know, kind of being disinterested, how he wanted a big name opponent, although Austin Trout's got a nice resume, not a huge name. So hopefully there's still somebody out there for Palomino. I mean, Eddie Alvarez, I know, you know, that makes sense, both coming off a loss.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that sounds like a hell of a fight to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I kind of still want to see him and Mike Perry for some reason, just because.
You know, maybe you do Alvarez and Palomino, and the winner of that gets a fight. You know what I mean? But coming off a loss, it'll be hard to give him Mike Perry. Perry's going to want the big name, the big promotional name to push the card.
Just because I like him doesn't mean I. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and they announced BK, Knucklemania 4 out in Los Angeles. April 27th. I never thought in my lifetime I would see bare knuckle fighting legalized in California, but it's nice to see that some of these commissions are finally starting.
I love
Knucklemania 4 running wild. I don't know, but I'm excited. I'm excited to have it out of my neck of the woods. I'm excited to see it legalized, because even this, beyond this event, California obviously is a big target for a lot of places, so it could potentially mean a lot of events in the future.
And we got to check in with Will. Actually, you have you're the one that texts Wheelock, because I if I message him on X, he it's his I know it's his kids that manage the account, that from what he told us last time. But find out, ask him if he can tell you what he said about Mohegan Sun, because I feel like if they're working on it, I mean, like I said, I'll definitely make the trip up north to cover a BKFC event in Connecticut if the Mohegan Tribe Athletic Commission is ready to let the knuckle mania loosen at Mohegan Sun.
I mean, it only makes sense. Like I said, California is going to kind of lead the way on some of that. Some of these states, especially in your neck of the woods, tend to follow California's lead a little bit. So, not so much New York's, because New York is likes to be so, you know,
weird,
nose up in the air, and really, you know, I don't know, really
I'll,
weird.
I'll
but,
say weird, yeah.
But yeah, Connecticut, New Jersey tend to like to follow the lead of California.
Oh so. Man, if they brought BKFC to Atlantic City, man, that'd be a nice little summer.
I mean,
a nice little weekend down at the shore.
Make me a reason to come down there, and be a Jersey boy for a
yeah. For a weekend. Weekend.
Yeah, for a weekend.
Ain't much else to do out here.
Oh, man. What else? What else? Anything?
Well, I mean, speaking of stuff, weekends, I mean, this weekend, Super Bowl, man. I mean, you're the stick and ball sports guy, so I mean.
I am a big football fan, big basketball fan, more of a casual baseball fan these days. Yeah. Big event, first one in Vegas, so I'm sure that's going to be a shit show of all ages.
Yeah, that the Legion, right? The Raiders mm-hmm. Stadium. That's. I mean, I think they're predicting like over $1 billion in
oh, I'm sure it's got to just be chaotic. Yeah. It's got to be chaotic. I mean, you go to a big fight in Vegas, you know, for T-Mobile, and you're looking like 22,000 people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can only imagine quadrupling that. And knowing that there's 100,000 fans there basically to watch a football game that are, you know, and the gambling and all the, you know, I mean, the parties have got to be fun, but man, it's definitely a rat race, I'm sure, with the amount of people out there.
I'm assuming you're going for the 49ers just because.
I'm not a big fan of the city of San Francisco, and I really don't like the Chiefs, being an old Charger fan, a San Diego Charger fan. So I kind of have, and the 49ers beat the Chargers the one time in my life I got to actually think that the city of San Diego could have ever won anything. so I kind of don't like either team, but yeah, I'll be pulling for San Francisco. I think they're the best team all year. Enough of the Kelce Mahomes thing for me in Kansas City. Yeah. Humble them down a little bit. I like Brock Purdy, the quarterback for the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. They got some really good fun players over there. I think San Francisco wins the game. I think they win it pretty handily, honestly. I'm going to say like 35-17. Mm-hmm. And I think the game MVP will be I think it's possible we get a co-MVP of McCaffrey and Purdy, who I also thought should have been the co-MVPs, honestly, for the whole season. I know Lamar Jackson had a good season, but statistically wasn't really on par with most MVP years we've seen in the past. So I thought even a co-MVP, even with him, McCaffrey co-MVP would have made a little bit more sense. But that's neither here nor there. But I have the 49ers winning.
Mm. Yeah, I hope they win, too, because the Taylor Swift thing is on the Kansas City side, right? Like,
yes.
So just to shut that shit up, I got the 49ers win. Antoine Willis asked, Do you guys think you will attend UFC 300? Me, no. And Matt, I know, is going to...
I'm going to 298 next weekend. Yeah. And I'm leaning towards a choice between 300 or possibly International Fight Week, whatever number heck that comes up to be. I don't think I'll be able to do both this year due to them being, you know, April and end of June. A little tight for me. But I'm leaning towards June. Unless a main event comes off that's just a can't miss fight. But I think the UFC delaying announcing a main event leads me to believe that it's just going to be something thrown together. I'm starting to think Chimaev and Duplessis could be what they force onto the card. I'm starting to think it's going to be something like that because we're getting tighter. The window's closing in. I mean,
yeah.
Also, if I end up going to BKFC in April, That would probably cut into my April funds for fights. Yeah. So because if it could, damn, if I can make that show in LA, I will be sitting where you'll be able to see me on television.
If you had to do anything in April, it would have to be that, because
for sure that's what it's gonna be. I got some other family obligations that I gotta try to work around. But yeah, so that's probably it. Probably gonna head to June, and then gonna aim to try to do at least one of the 1FC cards in the United States by the end of the year, whether it's Denver or Atlanta, or both, if I can pull both off. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at. But 300 right now is just kind of interesting.
Do you have
next week, Antoine? You have to tune in next week when we break down 298.
Oh yeah, because I have a lot to say about that, but I want to save it for next week's podcast. But for sure, we have picks for all that whole card, or at least the pay-per-view portion.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. As previewed right there, we'll be talking 298 next week as the UFC gets its first big. Is it the first pay-per-view of the year?
No.
Which one did I miss? That's like, which one? We had one just recently in January. But
DDP.
There you go. There you go. I mean, there's too many. There's too many.
We talked about it.
I know we talked about it, but we talk about a lot of things I forget. So yeah, 298 next week.
You and me both, Kevin. I'm definitely I'm excited for the PFL versus.
That's
Bellator.
Right. That's the following week. So we got back to back weeks of some really interesting stuff. 298 UFC cards stacked, and I do like the PFL Bellator card as well. So, and that one's on pay per view. We'll talk about that again to figure out how the heck to watch that.
Yeah, that's gonna be. That's all in March, dude. Right, March. Yes, March gonna be a crazy month. Or that's
isn't it February?
I'm sorry, February. March.
February 24th, right?
Yeah, because that whole day there's UFC Mexico, and then there's that, and it's gonna be it's a crazy Saturday. It's just definitely gonna be like if you're into combat sports, that might be a combat sports like Super Bowl.
There you go. I'll take it. Take it. So, all right. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can follow the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good night.
Peace.